Welcome to the Agents Lounge Podcast, where we talk all things real estate with the industry's top performers. Join us as we dive into the inspiring journeys of successful agents and uncover the secrets to their success. Whether you're a seasoned agent or just starting out, we got the tips and tricks to help you navigate the world of real estate. Brought to you by Airtegrity Comfort Solutions. So grab a seat and join us in the Agents Lounge.
And welcome back to another episode of the Agents Lounge Podcast. My name is Marco Salinas. I'm your host for today. And joining me as usual is Mr. Francisco Bermudez Jr. Say hello, Francisco.
Howdy, San Antonio.
Francisco is the owner of Airtegrity Comfort Solutions and the show sponsor as well. And today joining us, we've got a very special guest, someone who is very important to me because we share the same last name. I'm a little bit impartial to your last name. So, Mr. Angel Salinas of Sandler Sales Training. Angel, welcome to the Agents Lounge Podcast.
Thank you so much for the invitation. It's really great to be here this morning.
And I'm just going to go ahead and call you out. This is your first podcast.
It is.
So man.
Super excited.
Very, very, very excited. And what's cool is that we've had quite a bit of people come on here, and this is their first experience doing this. And so usually once people do it once, they're like, okay, I'm hooked, man. That was a lot of fun. So that's the goal. The goal is to have a good time, have a good conversation, and learn about Angel and all the things that you're doing with your business, okay? So let's go ahead and start with that, Angel. Let's go ahead and dive right in, okay? So you are the owner of Sandler Sales Training in San Antonio, Texas.
Yes, sir.
Right? Can you tell us a little bit about what you're – I'm gonna take a little bit of a step before that, though,
mm-hmm.
okay? Right. Tell me what led to you – what were you doing before you were part of Sandler Sales Training? What ultimately kind of led you to that point of owning your own sales, you know, sales training franchise like that here in San Antonio?
Sure, absolutely.
Give us a pre-story.
Absolutely. And, you know, I always like to tell that story because it takes me back when I was in college. And I remember that the dean, a few months before graduation, he put all the, you know, everybody together that was graduating that year. And he said something that I still remember. He said, hey, be very careful about what you do in the first 5 years after graduation, because whatever you do in those first 5 years is probably what you're going to keep doing the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this because at that point, I had just started an internship for a business owner. And guess what my first role was? Making cold calls for him and setting up appointments. So it was a total coincidence for me to fall into the sales world. And over the years, I've learned that people fall into sales because of two reasons: coincidence or destiny.
Yeah,
that's what I've learned throughout my years. So I'm telling you the story because that's how my sales career started. I started making phone calls and cold calls and cold visits and just prospecting, trying to get this person in front of ideal customers and prospects. And then eventually, as I started evolving my career, he offered me a job after that, after graduation, and I became his official salesperson. Then I became a sales manager for him because we hired a few people. And that was when I came across a methodology that he was very excited about. And he goes, hey, we got to learn this methodology. It's called Sandler. And I was like, well, you know, I don't have time. I've been doing this for long. I don't need training, right? I know everything. I know every single trick. And but he said, no, you're going. And you know, it really intrigued me, the things that I was learning in that boot camp. That's what they called it. It was a boot camp. I came back, right, and I had the responsibility of unpacking everything that I learned with our salespeople. And that's when my sales training career started. That's when I officially became the sales trainer for our sales team. And you know what? I started enjoying the whole process of facilitating and teaching people, and you know, people getting ideas and using them, and then coming back and asking for more.
Yeah.
And then one day, I was in a reinforcement session because that Sandler coach, would come back and give us some reinforcement. And I remember that I was sitting in one of those sessions, and as I was listening to this guy, I said, I think I could do this better than him. And that's when the whole crazy idea started. That's when
the ultimate light bulb went off for you, right? Yes.
Exactly. So after that session, I went to my boss and I said, you know what? I just thought about a business opportunity that we have. He goes, tell me about it. And then long story short, you know, I said, hey, I would really like to do this. Can you give me an opportunity? Long story short, we were getting certified by Sandler. We built a business model. And we started training people and working with sales organizations using the experience we had as salespeople ourselves.
Sure.
But then following a methodology, right, that is focused on helping salespeople be more efficient when they're dealing with prospects.
Wow. Tell me about Sandler itself. How long have they been around? Is this a new organization?
No, they've been around
this for a while.
Yeah, they've been around for more than 50 years.
More than 50 years.
David Sandler was the founder.
Okay.
I never got a chance to meet him, but, you know, a brilliant, brilliant man who really changed the whole you know, idea of what sales needs to be. So now we've been around for a long time.
Wow. So basically what you're telling me is Sandler has a process and a system that is proven and it works because they didn't just try to reinvent the wheel or something. They're going off of strategies that have probably are time tested, right, and proven, and they work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And let me tell you why they work. Sandler is a methodology.
Okay.
Right? It's a commercial language.
Okay.
Right? That if you think about a sales organization that has 5, 3, 4, 10, or 100 salespeople.
Yep.
And there's no methodology, everybody is speaking a different language.
Sure.
And when you think about the sales leaders or sales managers, managing salespeople that do their own thing is very difficult. How do you build consistency? How do you build, you know, something that is replicable or that you can be repeating, right?
Right.
It's very, very complicated. Now, the reason why Sandler works is because as a methodology, we insert the concepts, the tactics, the strategies that as a methodology we have into your sales process.
Okay.
So we respect the nature of everybody's business.
Okay.
Because, you know, depending on the industry that you're in, you have your own way of selling. So every business, every sales organization requires a sales process. And then everybody requires a methodology to make sure that we're speaking the same language. That's why it's proven, because we adapt ourselves to your process.
Sure.
And now being around for more than 50 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is Sandler sales training something that just about any business can implement, or are there some that it's not the right fit?
Any business. Here's how I put it. As long as there's a breathing body on the other side of the table or on the other side of the phone.
Yeah.
Right. Or the screen, someone interested in engaging with your service or product.
Yeah.
You need a methodology to be more effective. Not closing them, because I don't think that's the purpose.
Sure.
Helping them and guiding them to make an educated purchasing decision, that is our role as a salesperson.
What about face-to-face?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, face-to-face.
Do these strategies work as well if you have an air conditioning company and you're going into somebody's house, right, and you're diagnosing a problem? Okay, I looked at the machine, it's not working. Here's what we need to do, right? Here's what we need to do as far as, you know, this option, we can replace or we can repair, right?
Absolutely.
All of that stuff works even if you're going into somebody's home or if they're coming to you.
Yeah.
You're telling me that these methodologies will line up really regardless of the circumstance or the environment.
It doesn't matter the industry that you're in, whether it's B2B or B2C.
Let's talk about that, because not everybody, believe it or not, knows what that means, right? So what's B2C?
B2C means it's business to consumer. In other words, you are selling to the end consumer. Could be a homeowner.
Like these guys.
Right, like these guys, exactly. Yeah. B2B would be you're selling to an organization, a company.
Yes.
Right? That's what that terminology means.
Yes. Well, one thing that I learned a long time ago, and let's see if you would agree with me, is that even if it is B2B, a lot of times in our mind we're thinking, okay, me versus a giant building, a giant corporation. But that's not really the case. You're still talking to other humans.
You're still dealing with people.
And those people, even though they represent maybe a big company, their mind still functions the same way.
Exactly.
Right? They still come to these conclusions based on emotion, based on certain things that really get them fired up or upset, or basically the need for a solution. right?
Exactly.
It's just that you're maybe you're solving bigger problems for them, but because it's a bigger organization, but at the end of the day, people are still people.
Absolutely. Right? And you know, they still have problems. They're still dealing with the challenges.
Yes.
Right? They still need help and guidance.
Yes.
Right? And that's one of the components that it's very important in sales training. A lot of sales training programs are only focused on technique. How to ask this, how to close this, how to persuade, how to convince.
Yes.
But there is an attitude component, right? Everything that goes in your mind,
yep.
Right? How do you deal and how do you help with salespeople that, you know, they may have some limiting beliefs. And when they're working with this giant, that's how they see it.
Sure.
Right? That's when they start getting emotionally involved. And you have to make sure that you port them not only on the technical side, but also on that attitude side to make sure that they're building those supportive beliefs. Otherwise, sure. You know, they always lose control of the process. And
yes.
It's very easy
right,
to lose control.
Right.
So as business owners, we have employees. Some of them, everybody has a different personality. So you have the talkers that talk a lot, that have a lot of confidence. And then you have those individuals that are very reserved, very calm, and they're kind of like hard to figure out. Does your program or work with different types of individuals, or do you need a certain, trait, like a DISC assessment or like a certain personality to be successful as a salesperson?
That is a great question. So the answer is yes. We work with any type of personalities. Now, instead of personalities, call it styles.
Mm-hmm.
There's different personalities. There's different behavioral styles. We'll put them that way,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You've got people that are more dominant, right? Down, you know, bottom line driven. They're not very patient, right? You got to move quickly, make quick decisions. You've got people that are very social. They want to bond with you. They want to break the ice, and that may take 30 minutes before you know, right? And then you've got people that are introverts. So yes, the answer is as an owner. I think there's strategy around that, because those different behavioral styles are more suited for certain responsibilities in a sales team. So for example, you've got people that are very introvert, right, or that are very reserved, and you put them to cold call, or you put them to network, or go out there and knock on doors, you know, they're going to have to invest a lot of energy in doing that. It's not in their nature,
right?
What about if you put them into account management? They love working with the same people. They're great building relationships. They like habits, right? So if you start understanding about people's personalities and behavioral styles, you'll make a better decision about where to put them in terms of those different roles that you have in an organization. People that are, you know, extroverts and social, they'll strive in networking events. They'll strive in, you know, prospecting, because they're good speaking with strangers.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right. Yeah. Now, does that make sense, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're dealing with people that sometimes have extremely different ways about doing things, right? But what you're saying is you kind of need to do some strength finding and then align them to the proper role, right? And you've seen that in your organization. You've had some people that are they do so good with the mingling and stuff. So when you put them in a B&I group, they thrive, right?
Absolutely.
There's another person that you've put in a B&I environment would be like, paralyze them.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But it doesn't mean that they're still not good at selling in the right environment.
Absolutely. Right? And when you think about a sales training program, right, or a development program for your team that includes techniques and skills, you also have to make sure that you're adding this component of behavioral needs that they have, right,
yeah.
Or styles. So you do an assessment, you do an inventory of needs, and then when you carve out a program, you've got your curriculum of skills and techniques you want to teach them, but then you have also some personal development items that you need to address in the training program, right? Limiting beliefs, or, you know, feeling uncomfortable asking questions, right? They become followers instead of guiding a prospect through your process. So that needs to be part of any personal development program or training program.
Sure. Okay, Angel, so you said Sandler is built primarily on methodology, right?
Yep.
Which sounds to me, correct me if I'm wrong, like you need to have a system in place before you enter the conversation with the prospect, right? What a lot of organizations, businesses, solo entrepreneur, whatever, they wing it and they go, this person, I'm going to try this. The next one, I'm going to try that. And so it's just very wild and kind of willy-nilly and, you know, right, and arbitrary, right? Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
So does that mean, I guess my question is, to script or not to script? You know what I mean? And a script doesn't need to be like a script could also just mean bullet points, right? Like, okay, we're going to make sure we're going to cover this. We're going to make sure we cover that, right? I've been to your sales training before, and you've actually broken some of those yep. key components down, right?
Sure.
And so that's the difference between going out into the field and saying, hey, guys, on the next play, just do whatever you want. Just kind of keep an eye out there, and just if somebody's open, throw the ball or whatever, right?
Right.
Versus here's the play that we've been training for months, if not years.
Yep.
And this person knows exactly where to go. And that way the quarterback knows to look over here in this direction so that this guy's there, right? Imagine a sports team trying to play without any of that pre-planning, right? Without a playbook. Imagine the disaster and the chaos. Why do we do that in the business world?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because when you think about a salesperson, what comes to mind is someone that is good thinking on his feet, right? That can pivot in the moment. Right, that always has a good, you know, answer for an objection, and that adds a lot of this lack of process or, you know, to the equation.
Right,
right, and I think you need to have a component of that. I mean, in order to be a good salesperson, those are some traits that you need to have, but don't overuse it.
Right, sure.
We take it to the extreme where now we don't have a system, we don't have a process. Now, you mentioned something interesting: scripted. Not scripted. I think there is something that needs to be scripted. There is a rule in sales that I would encourage everybody to reflect and think, how are we using this? It says, Mr. Prospect or Mrs. Prospect, the process is mine, the decision is yours. That's the type of relationship that we want to start, right, with the prospect, or we want to engage in a conversation.
Right.
So what does that mean? The process is mine. Go to the whiteboard. And tell your guys, hey, how many steps does our sales process have from start to end when we first engage with them and then when we close them? Let's make sure that we have those steps clearly.
Yeah.
And then do a double click in every stage and say, what are the five things we need to accomplish in every stage?
Sure.
So we start scripting the path from start to close. And then what is not scripted is let your people use their natural abilities or skills.
Right.
Let them put their own personality into the process.
Sure.
But following these guidelines.
Staying within the boundaries.
Exactly.
So there's some room. There's some wiggle room.
Absolutely.
There's room for your personality. There's room for your humor or your interaction, your rapport building. As long as you don't go outside of the lines.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Then you're going to still succeed. Yeah, because I heard you say something like something to the effect of people love to buy, but they hate to be
sold.
Right. So let's talk about that, because everyone knows that sales is probably the most important role within any organization. Okay. But there's kind of like this, there's this kind of ugly connotation that's attached to people who sell.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, kind of that typical sleazy, you know, sometimes they attach it to the car sales guys, yep. sometimes to the jewelry sales guys, kind of like he opens his thing and there's jewelry right here. You know what I mean? And like, hey, I got something really good for you. Right. And so now that's evolved a lot over the years. But, you know, when I think back into history, like when my parents were younger, sales in let's just say even like in the 60s and in the 70s, I feel like it was still looked highly upon. People would come to your door. You would welcome them in. We want to sell you an encyclopedia. We want to sell you a Bible. We want to sell you a vacuum. You know, now, you know what I see, Angel, is that I'm part of my Nextdoor app, right? Anytime somebody tries to sell something door to door, they make that person out to be a criminal. There's a guy in the neighborhood right now, and I don't know what he's up to. He's very suspicious and da-da-da-da, you know, and it's like, finally, if somebody is kind enough, they'll go on there and say, the guy is trying to sell pest control services. Relax.
That's right.
The guy is trying to earn an honest living, and all of you guys are making him out to be the shadiest criminal just because he's coming to your door, you know? And there's a funny skit that I saw from a comedian, Sebastian Maniscalco, where he's like, how it used to be when people came to the door versus now, right? And it was like, and he's Italian, so they kind of like, with Hispanics, we're kind of similar, right? Like, I remember in the 90s, it was a big deal. People come over to the house, right? You're hoping they will stop by. We have food on the table ready for you. My grandma used to have a pot of arroz always ready because she's hoping somebody will stop by every day, right? And then his kid is like, somebody rings the doorbell and the family's like, get down, and they're like crawling behind the couch. And but there's a lot of truth to that, right? That whole equation has changed. How do we fight those stereotypes? How do we change the mindset with the actions of the salesperson? Because we've learned a lot. We've evolved. We have technology. We have social media. So true. Now we know this guy's trying to sell me. Yeah. Before it was like, you didn't really think that. You're like, well, let's just hear what he's offering. Now it's like, you're trying to sell me, aren't you? And I love to buy. I hate to be sold. So don't you dare try to sell me. Yeah. When in reality, they're like, I have this problem and I need it solved.
Right.
So how do we kind of address those, you know, that stereotype, that mindset? How can the salespeople, if somebody's listening and they're in sales or they want to enter into sales, what can they do to come across less as a snake, you know, and more as a welcome guest, so to speak?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So there's not a single answer to that. I think there's... getting to this point will be the result of doing several things.
Okay.
So number one would be, here's recommendation number one. As a salesperson, right, and I'm talking to you who, you know, are out there trying to, you know, get money to feed your family and all that, stop thinking about what your goals are. The more we think about our goals, the more we think about our quota, the more we think about our wallet, the more we think about us, that's when you start coming across pushy. And that's when the prospect starts realizing, well, I've got a traditional salesperson in front of me who just wants to sell me. And you may be staring at me saying, well, hold on, but isn't goals and quotas important? Absolutely. Absolutely. But don't let that influence your behavior when you are trying to understand people's needs, uncover what their challenges, and then be a support for them. Right, so that would be on one side of the equation. The second would be, I think there's another rule that I love, which says your sales process is not the place where your ego needs are met.
Say that one more time. We need to be able to resonate on that a little bit more.
So your sales process is not where your ego needs are met.
Man, wow.
So
yeah,
it, a lot of people are looking for, you know, a technique that can make me, you know, sound less pushy. I don't think it's a technique. I think it's a mindset. I think it's an attitude.
Sure. Yeah. So in other words, you're saying, believe it or not, in the sales equation, humility, there's a place for it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Instead of coming into the whole thing very arrogant, very prideful, come in with humility and turn it around. Stop making it about my needs and I got to close this deal. I got to sell this guy, and really focus on problem solving for the person that you're speaking to.
Yeah.
Right.
Because if you keep thinking that way, I got to close this deal. You know, I'm down on my numbers. I got to hit my quota. It's a very important deal. Guess what that happens? What that causes? You start the appointment and then you start talking too much.
Right.
And what that does is the prospect now sees a salesperson in high need for approval,
right,
with a high urgency to sell something. Now you're not interested in understanding more about my needs, but you're interested about selling something to me, and that's when the relationship breaks.
Sure, right, yeah. And you know, I grew up hearing stuff like timid salesmen have skinny kids. Zig Ziglar said that. You know what I mean? And so it's like the old way was like you had to be a little bit, because if you're a timid salesman, you're just going to be like, you know, I'm really hoping that, you know. And it's crazy because we've evolved so much that there are ways to sell by being timid as long as you've got the other things that are maybe in place, right? As long as you're still taking care of the you know, certain needs that the client has or what have you, you don't have to always come across. Because if you're thinking, okay, so what's the opposite of timid? It's pushy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep.
But the pushy thing doesn't work either anymore.
No, no.
So it's almost like you have to find that happy balance.
Yeah. You know what? I think Zig Ziglar has a good point. And I'll say I agree with him. However, we need to make sure that we understand the meaning behind what he was saying. Okay? When he says a timid salesperson, it means a salesperson who loses control of the sales process.
Got you. Yeah.
Is a salesperson who becomes a follower instead of guiding the prospect through the decision-making process. Sure. I always ask people, are you selling or are they buying from you?
Yeah.
You got to understand what the difference is.
Right.
And you won't believe me, you know, how many times we've worked with sales organizations where the biggest problem is my salespeople become followers. We lose control of our sales process.
Yep.
And that's when all the objections and price fighting starts.
Yeah.
Right. And then we lose our value.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Now the prospect is dominating you.
That's right.
And you become submissive. That is what Zig Ziglar was referring to.
That is so beautifully said. And that's where and why the importance of the methodology really comes in, right? Because that's what helps to keep you in control. Even though the client may not even realize that they're being quote unquote controlled, it sounds like something bad, but the reality is that they need you to take control because otherwise they may make a bad decision and part of the bad decision may be saying no.
That's true.
Because the reality is maybe they really do need that. Maybe you're the best solution.
And that's when the art comes in place. You know, sales is a science and an art.
Very much.
Science, you need a process, you need a methodology. But art is that what you were saying is how do I stay in control without Francisco feeling that I'm controlling him?
Right.
Right. How do I create that relationship?
Very much so. Angel, when did you purchase or start your Sandler business?
In 2008.
2008.
2008.
Okay. So you've been at this for a while.
I've been doing this for a while.
15 years. Over 15 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no, I think that's amazing. So we're getting close to kind of winding down here. I want to kind of transition a little bit more towards just learning a little bit more about you. So you've owned the business since 2008.
Yes.
Do you have a family?
I do. I'm married. I've got two children. My oldest is 21 years old.
Okay.
And my youngest is 18, just about to start
college. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So you're almost an empty nester kind of in a way, right?
Kind of, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And so, okay. And so what do you, when you're not teaching people how to be amazing salespeople, what do you find yourself mostly doing either with family or with friends or both?
You know, I'm very grateful. So a little backstory is I was born and raised in Monterrey, Mexico. Okay. And I moved to San Antonio in 2013. So it's been 10 years.
Okay.
And I did my senior high school year in San Antonio. I went to Central Catholic. So I'm a brother. I'm a button. And I was going to play soccer for Incarnate Word back then,
okay.
Right? I got a scholarship, but I got homesick and I went back and eventually went to Monterey Tech.
Okay.
Without knowing that I was going to be back.
Yeah.
So I come back in 2013. I was already in Sandler, right? And I'm so grateful about this city because this is our home, right? I've got great memories. I've got some relatives here. I love the people. So to answer your question, I've got four core values, and one of them is making a difference. So I like supporting nonprofit organizations. I do a lot of things with sports. I love sports. So I play soccer. Well, I try to play soccer. At this point, they play with me, but I'm out there kicking the ball. But I love supporting nonprofits. I love supporting, people that are, you know, looking to, strive and build a better business, and that's just one thing that I'm very grateful.
Sure.
Again, about how this city, how this culture, you know, has supported me throughout the years, and I feel like I owe something back to them.
Sure.
Right? And that's
sure.
The way that I pay it back. So
yeah. And then if you're just kicking back and not contributing, I know for a fact you like golf.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Every now and then
I try.
You like cigars like me?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Every now and then.
You enjoy a nice little cigar now and then?
Absolutely. Yeah. I enjoy the talk, right, and the conversation,
exactly.
Right,
exactly. With a cigar. The environment.
Absolutely.
Right? The environment is killer, yeah. And I'm sure you're able to do plenty of things just with your wife and your family and just kind of unwind, relax, like all the rest of us, right, after we work our butt off?
It has to be part of the equation. It's part of life, right? Who I am is not what I do. It's two different things.
Sure.
Right. So there's a time where you have to disengage, and now I'm Angel.
That's right.
Right. And there's a time where I need to stop being Angel, otherwise I won't sell anything.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. And what's cool is that you're a great salesperson, but you're also very much a teacher. You're also an educator. right?
Yes.
That's a huge component, really, of what you do with Sandler is you're up at the front of the class. You're the maestro.
Yes.
Right?
It's very much like sales, right? But you're with a student. You have to sell an idea.
Right.
To buy it. There has to be buy-in. And there has to be, you know, this drive to help people, like I said, right?
Sure.
And the patience and that's required to teach and make people, change their mindsets and even their behaviors.
Sure, yeah. So if anybody wants to get in contact with you, if they want to learn more.
Wait, before we even end, I got something to say.
Oh, okay, we'll make it quick.
So let me turn this around.
That okay.
You can face the camera facing me.
Okay.
Is it facing me, Andrew?
Let's see.
No, just a quick short story.
Okay.
Angel and I, we golfed together. And earlier in October, I lost my main sales guy. And I'm like, man, what am I going to do? This guy produces all the revenue for us. And we have December, and I don't have nobody that's able to step into the plate and start hitting for us. So he was very kind of us, and he met with our team in this office.
Wow.
And he went over their methodologies, and we're like, hey, guys, we got to, our main guy's not here.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we kind of have a process in place so that we can get over this hump. And believe it or not, he gave us a training for about an hour and a half or 2 hours. And my guys were motivated. And they were closing, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 tickets. And they're like, I don't know. It was part of a blessing from God, a bit of luck, and the methods that he went over. But
sure,
what was very interesting is that we were going meeting customers' homes, and we were listening to them. We were asking the right questions. We were setting up upfront contracts with them, and we were closing on this project. So what could have been a very catastrophic end of the year for us was.
Yeah.
We were able to implement the systems that he recommended,
wow.
Almost immediately.
Wow!
That same week, it helped us get over the hump.
Over the holiday hump.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing.
Just a shout out for Sandler for.
Oh yeah, my pleasure.
And Angel for taking the time.
Definitely.
Out of his busy schedule.
Well, when you've got an audience or people that want to change and they're open to change and they're open to learn,
sure,
that's a result. Right. As long as you have someone that wants to really change and learn. And
so that is a prerequisite.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Kind of goes back to the humility thing again. Right.
Oh, yeah.
You can't be I know it all. I've seen it all. You've got to be open. And if we're all honest with ourselves, I think even the greatest salespeople on the planet will tell you I'm always learning.
Oh, yeah.
There's always something
Absolutely.
To learn.
Absolutely.
Right. So, yeah. So, again, thank you very much, Angel. For being a part of this today. This was a great conversation. How can we reach you? How can we learn more about Sandler Sales Training here in San Antonio?
Well, you could go to our website, which is ssa.sandler.com. And we've got, plenty of information on how to do that. You can also email me, my email, asalinas@sandler.com.
Beautiful.
Right. And even my phone number, right? 210-365-5746. Glad to listen to any of the things that you might be needing and kind of give you a little sense of what we do. And if we can be helpful, glad to be it.
That's fantastic. We'll make sure that we include that information in the show notes for this episode. And
Great.
That way, if anybody comes across that on YouTube or on audio or what have you, they can get in contact with you there. So
great.
Again, Angel, Primo, as I also know you. Thank you again for your time today.
Thank you so much for the invitation. It was a great, great conversation, Francisco. Thank you again, and my pleasure.
Appreciate it. And that does it, guys, for another episode of the Agents Lounge Podcast. We'll catch you here next time.
You've been listening to the Agents Lounge Podcast, brought to you by Airtegrity Comfort Solutions. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or to listen to past episodes, please visit agentsloungepodcast.com.